Samuel 17. I'm not going to ask you to stand today as we read the word. You've already been on your feet quite a while, and we want to just let you rest. And I'm going to jump around 1 Samuel 17. And Ian, you're going to kill me because I've looked, and I'm going to draw out some other verses. Just follow along. I'll point the verse out. You follow along in your Bible. I'd give him a few verses I was going to read, but I'm going to read in some other verses from 17. But basically, this whole chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it is about David and Goliath. Now, I want to say a word right here just about familiarity, the danger of familiarity. I want you to understand that the depth of this text, I'm sure it's far deeper than what I could ever explore myself, but it's much deeper than what we learn in Sunday school as a little child. The story of David and Goliath, even the little song that the children sing about David and Goliath and how David just took those five little stones and he killed the giant and the giant came tumbling down. That is the summary of the text, but there's a deep truth here in this text concerning what I believe are giants of destiny. So that's what I want you to think about, giants of destiny. Now, you need to understand that that God has a plan for each one of you. God has a plan for Liberty Baptist Church. And for all of our young people here, I want you to really get and to grasp and to cling to this very truth, if you will, that God, in fact, write this down, young people, somewhere in your bedroom or in your notebook, that God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. And that plan is bigger than anything you can ever dream of. You're going to hear me say this and mention this frequently in my preaching because I think our young people today need to hear and they need to know that no matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, no matter how they may have missed it in the past, they need to understand that God has got a plan for them and that it is possible to miss God's plan for your life. It's possible to wreck God's purpose for you in life. If you choose to go down your own path, it is possible to miss it. And that's why it's important that you know that, hey, God has got a plan for me. And all I've got to do is love Him and worship Him and adore Him and love Him above all else and walk with Him day to day. And that plan will come to life in my life. And so God has a destiny for you. So what is destiny? And I just thought, as I was praying one day and talking to the Lord about this, what is, when I think about God's destiny for me, God's plan for me, God's plan for you, what is it? Here, quite simply, is what it is. And this is the Sedaris version, okay? I don't know what Webster's going to tell you about destiny or that TV preacher, but here's what I think it is. I think it's being in the right place at the right time, doing exactly what God has called you to do. That's what I believe God's destiny is. And so we see in 1 Samuel 17 this giant. It's very significant because I believe this event in the life of David is the event that propelled him into God's plan for his life. See, God had made David some promises, and David knew those promises. God had promised him a throne, and God had promised him had anointed him and promised him a future. And it was this one event that propelled him into God's destiny for his life. And so he had promises that he knew God had made. He faces this giant, and in defeating this giant, he is launched into God's will for his life for the rest of his days. I want to say this about promises in the Word of God. You need to get in God's Word, and here's why. Not because the preacher said you're supposed to do it, not because that's what we do as good Baptists, but you need to get in God's Word and get you some promises for your life. That's what you need to do. Because I want to tell you something. These promises are things that are, these promises are are verses and words from God that there will be days in your life that you're going to have nothing else to cling to but what God has promised you. I'm going to read the scripture right now, but I will tell you this. I have in my days and in my time been in situations where all I had was a promise from God in His Word. But not only that, I've been in situations such as this text we're going to read about David facing this giant. I've been in situations where it looked impossible for the outcome to be good. Where all of the circumstance said, this is it, you're finished, you're sunk, it's over with, it's done, because there was a giant in my life. But I had a promise to cling to. And even though my faith was weak, I could open up God's Word and I could go to that verse or those verses and I could say, God, even my mind tells me that this is the end. Even my mind and my intellect says that it's over with, that there's nothing beyond today. But God, I've got a word from You and I have nothing else to hold to but a promise in the Word of God. And friend, I want you to understand something. If that's all you have to hold on to is a promise from God's Word, then that's all you need, because that's enough. And so David is facing this giant. And so what I want you to understand is this, is that God has a plan for you. And along the way, moving toward God's plan and God's destiny for you, there's going to be giants that stand in the way. Somebody just ought to say amen right there, because you face those giants. And so right now today, there's probably somebody in here who you have a giant size burden in your life. Right now, somebody's in this church and you've got a giant size problem that you're facing. I don't know, maybe it's financial. Maybe it's a financial giant. Maybe it's a giant in your marriage relationship. Maybe it's a giant within your career. Maybe it's just a giant in your personal life. Maybe there's a sin struggle, a sin problem that is a giant that you are facing. Maybe you're doing everything right, but inside of your mind, mentally or emotionally, there is a giant that's standing in your way. And you face that giant daily, or you have faced it this week. Maybe even this morning you have faced that giant. I'm going to tell you, facing giants is not a bad thing. I'm going to show you from this text and what the Lord has given us that it's possibly a good thing for a believer. Giants of destiny. Look in 1 Samuel 17. Now, I'm going to pull out just a few random verses that I want you to take note of. You can mark that verse in your Bible. And then I'll recap the story when I'm done, but I just want you to look at a few random verses that hold some important truths. 1 Samuel 17, look at verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. That's who Goliath is with, this giant. He's a Philistine. So the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. Underline this last phrase. And there was a valley between them. Now look over on verse 25. For the sake of time, I'm doing this. Verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, three things. The king will enrich him with great riches, number one, and will give him his daughter, number two, and make his father's house free in Israel, number three. Three promises for the man who can kill Goliath. Look in verse 37, what David says as he has said that he can go out and fight this giant. Saul reminds him, you're just a little boy. And you're going to go out and fight a man who's 6'9"? In verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord, look at that, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. So verse 45. Verse 45. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Come, thou come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands." You see that right there? The Lord doesn't save with a sword and a spear. He doesn't need our help in defeating giants. The battle is the Lord's. Verse 48, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took there a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. That the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." May God add the blessings to the reading of His word and His anointing. Now, let's talk just a little bit about this text. Now, you remember the story. The Philistines get on one side of the mountain. God's children get on the other side of a mountain. And in between them, there's a valley. This champion of the Philistines, Goliath, some 6'9", a giant of a man, 6'9". He steps out and he says, "I'll fight the best man that you have in Israel. We will meet in this valley, and if that man can defeat me, then we, the Philistines, will be your servants. But if I defeat him, then Israel will be our servants as the Philistines." And so this challenge was made. Instead of army coming against army, it was decided they would send one man. The only problem was this. The only problem was is when all of Israel saw this giant of a man, Goliath, they did not want to come and meet in the valley. This giant was throwing out cursings and threats, and it had every single man in this seasoned army fearful, afraid, and hiding. You see what kind of battle this is. And so David, who had been at home tending the sheep of his father, His father, Jesse, calls him, and David's got three brothers that are in the army of Israel. And Jesse calls David and he says, "Look, I know you're just a little boy, you're young, you're ruddy, and you're just a pup. But I'm going to send you some corn, I'm going to send you 10 little Debbie cakes and 10 little things of cheese. And I want you to go carry," I was wondering if he was listening this morning, so I'm just following along. "I want you to go carry that to the battle, and I want you to give it to your brothers. I want you to check on them, see how they're doing, and then get on back to the house." And so the Bible says that David, that he left his sheep in care of a servant, he goes on to the battle, and when he gets to the battle, he hears the threats of Goliath. Every day Goliath would come out and he would threaten. Every day Goliath would come out and he would curse, and every day he would come out. And in all of his might and all of his giant size, he would scare everybody on the other side of the valley. And David overheard that. And I want you to notice, as we look at giants of destinies, I want you to notice to begin with David's position. And so David says this, "What's going on?" And they said, "Well, this giant's coming out. He's threatening everybody. We're scared. Nobody can take him on." And David said, "Well, I'll go to battle against that giant." And they all look at him, and even Saul says, "But you're just a pup. You're just a little boy. You're ruddy, you're weak, you're small, you're not a seasoned soldier, and you're going to go to battle against this giant." And David said, "I'll fight that giant." See, for David, that giant wasn't threatening the armies of Israel as Saul and the other soldiers in the armies perceived. To David, that giant was threatening the God of the armies of Israel. And God had this plan for David, and this was part of God's plan for David, was to propel him into his destiny by meeting this giant in the valley. So I want you to take first note of this, that it's in the valley that you face giants. It's always in the valley where you face giants. Don't you remember the children of Israel where God led them right up to the promised land and Moses was there? He didn't get to go in, but he went right to the brink and he was able to view and he was able to peer into the promised land. Moses, an example really of falling short of God's destiny because of the wilderness wanderings. God said, you won't go in, but I'll take you to the brink and let you see in. But God told him this, said, you can go into the land, you're going to take it, you're going to possess it, I've given it to you, but there's giants in that land, in those valleys where those grapes are at, in those valleys where all of that, the milk and honey's at, there's giants there. You're going to face giants in the valleys. That's where they're at. But I want you to know what led up to David facing this giant. I want you to know maybe what we could say, why God chose him to face this giant. Why God picked him to touch this giant. Why God picked him to be propelled into his destiny. Here's why. Because David, as a ruddy youth, the Bible says ruddy, red-faced, as a red-faced youth, just a young boy, just a little teenage boy, and God said, that's my man who's going to defeat that giant. You want to know why? Because David was faithful in the small things. He was faithful to feed the sheep. And buddy, let me tell you something. There's nothing glamorous about feeding sheep. You won't get your name on the front page of the paper by faithfully feeding sheep. Nobody will be handing out rewards for faithfully watering those sheep. Nobody will be passing out a Shepherd of the Year for protecting those sheep. But David was faithful in the small things. Young people, listen to me. You got to be faithful in the small things before God propels you into His will and into His destiny for your life. And our people that's here today that's facing giants, you have that giant in your life. Here's what God wants you to do, because here's what happens. We will get so consumed and so occupied by a giant in our path because it's a giant. We'll get so consumed and occupied by that that we'll forget that God's called us to be faithful in the small things. And that's what happened here with David. He was faithful in the small things. He faced this giant in the valley. He was doing what God wanted him to do. And God was interested in making David what he wanted David to be. But here's what God does. God is a moving God. Do you understand that? I believe I've preached that before. In fact, if somebody keeps really good notes, I feel like I preached this sometime last year at this church. But when I started praying about today, I know God parked me here and wanted me here today. But our God, He's a moving God. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. In Genesis chapter, in Revelation chapter 22, all the way at the end of the book, we see the Lord Jesus speaking about coming and coming quickly. So He's a moving God. So here's what God does. God is not interested in you staying where you're at and leaving you where you're at and letting you be where you're at all the days of your life for the rest of your life. Now, that's the Baptist thing. Can I tell you that? That's very Baptist. To be comfortable, content. I am where I am. I've been at this same place for 20 years, and I'm going to be at this same place for 20 more years. I do what I do. I'm not giving anymore. I'm not doing anymore. I'm not volunteering for anything, but I'm just happy, content, and pleased to be right here. This is where I'm at. That's Baptist. Very Baptist. And by the way, Baptist is not always Bible. Did you know that? We're Baptists because we believe that Baptists are as close to a New Testament church as any other church could be. But listen, what we always do as Baptists is not necessarily Bible. And what's very Baptist is saying, I'm not doing anything else, but I'm here and I don't want to move. But God's a moving God. And so if you're His child, God is interested in moving you from that place of contentment, from that place of well-being, from that place of comfort. God is going to move you to get you where He wants you to be in His will, in His destiny, in His plan for you. And the way God does that is He brings giants into your life. Let me give you this. Let me really bring it down home. Some of you are only here today. You would not be here.